some of you in this room have had been on the honeymoon, you've gotten married. And there's a lot of different feelings and emotions that come around that part. You're at the honeymoon part, you're excited, you just got married. For some of you, like, oh gosh, I just got married. Uh-oh, no, just kidding. But, like, you just get married, and there's a part of excitement. There's a part of, like, oh gosh, what's about to happen? A little bit nervous, a little bit scared, a little bit excited. No one ever at a honeymoon, at least that I know of, ever gets in the middle of it and goes, dude, I can't wait to go home. The only time it would ever be valid is you went overseas and you had bad water and you got sick. But in this room, it's not like that. Like, we're in the presence of God. When you're right there, you're like, oh, come on, baby, you know? You're a little scared. You're like, well, what if I don't do it right? If I don't raise my hand right? If I don't, if I shake a little bit, what? And the Lord's like on the other side of the room, like, he's like, come on, baby. He's like, let's just get in it. Let's get close. Let's get real close. The Lord wants us to get so close we smell it. The Lord was so detailed when he had David design the temple all the way down to the very smell and fragrance of the place. Thing is, the kingdom of heaven comes into this place. Like, literally, when he comes into the room, he has his cologne on. He's like, be so close to me that you can smell me. Don't be nervous. Don't be afraid. I love you just the way you are. What church in the world has a pastor come up and just start stripping on the stage, you know? It's awesome. You have that. You have an older, wiser pastor who, I mean, looks like he's 30, but, like, has the maturity of, like, looks cool. I mean, you got it all. I mean, the first time I met Pastor Kayton, I just kind of came to service. I heard about him, and Jenna took me. And I'm like, dude, those glasses that he's wearing are so cool. Like, I wonder, like, I didn't even get to see an application to work here. Like, I didn't actually kind of, in a sense, got hired by text message. But I bet you if I did fill out an application, it would be like this. It would be like, are you crazy after Jesus? Yes, click here. Okay, right there. During certain moments, do you feel afraid about taking your jacket off and unbuckling your shirt during worship? Is that, okay, great, you're hired. Awesome, fantastic, you know? Jesus makes you do crazy things. Actually, let me say that, rephrase it. He doesn't make you do crazy things. You just do crazy things. Like anybody that's been in love, anybody that's, like, truly been in, like, love, you do crazy, stupid things. When I was in, I went to summer camp, and I wanted to impress this girl. So I don't know what was going on in my little eighth grade mind, but I thought it would really impress her. That climbed the tree and, like, broke off a big branch. Now, I know you girls, and you're like, dude, that impressed me, you know? And so I went up there, and I'm like, look at me, baby, I'm going to break this branch. You know, and I broke the branch off, and I, like, fell into, like, the stream because we were canoeing. Like, fell into the stream and, like, got, like, the stick, like, stuck in my arm. Yeah, not cool. Not cool. That's good. Lord does do crazy things. Again, I was a very logical person, no, very logical. But God, he just goes beyond our logic. I'm really excited about bringing our speaker tonight, Monday Martin. Known him for a couple years, been to a couple of the conferences. He's an awesome guy. And I'll tell you why. Because, I mean, he'll speak before 5,000-10,000 people with Patricia King and travel all around the world. He's going, like I said before, he's going to Germany the next couple weeks. He does all of these things. But then he talks about the stories that really like just really like move his heart. And he went to the Himalayas and he's like walking for days and you're on a plane and you're going there and they're like, okay, here's your, I don't know what their accent is, here's your room, whatever happens. And it was like a box with like a 2x4 and a plank across it. There's your room, buddy. I asked him, I said, did you sleep well? He's like, oh yeah, after walking all those ways, yeah, I slept great. You know, at the moment, like a couple days ago, we were, because we've been traveling the past couple days to different churches in the area, and like for me, I'm a very tunnel focused, and all right, to the next thing. But he's like, no, he's like here, like grounded in the moment. As a girl needed to speak to him for like an hour and a half, he was like right there, like fully there. Just wanting to listen to her. I'm excited to have him speak. I'm excited to see how the Lord's going to use him. He's used him in different ways in every church that we've been at. So I'm excited to bring my new friend, Monday Martin. I also want to thank Troy for allowing this to happen because he really went on the limb. He didn't know Monday, but he just trusted me. So I want to thank Troy as well. But my friend, Monday Martin, come on up.
The psalmist wrote, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. And I just believe we're supposed to do that before we start this service. It's a Wednesday night, but we just need to do that right now. And I just want to count to three, and we're just going to release the high praises of God in this place. And we're just think of one thing that you're thankful for in your life. I know somebody's got something to be thankful for. Despite all the things that we've gone through. So on the count of three, we're going to shout a shout of triumph, a shout of praise. And I want to hear it. And I want it to vibrate the walls. One, two, three. Shout. Hallelujah. Glory! God is so good. Oh, I tell you. We came here from, I say we, me and the Holy Spirit. My wife's at home with my two kids, but she says hello. We have a ministry, Contagious Love International, and I'll tell you what, I'm excited to be in Cleveland. God, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I've come here, I think this is probably my seventh trip here, but he told me that this is going to be one of the most fieriest cities of revival, and even the whole Church of America is going to watch what happens in this great city. I want to tell you, you are in the right city at the right time. Touch your neighbor and say, that's my city. Hallelujah. So I'm really excited to be here. Thank you again to the leadership of this house for letting me come. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you, Adam Opper, and thank you, Jenna. I love you guys. It's just been an amazing time building a relationship with them on this trip, and they're so precious to me. So we're going to have fun tonight. You guys ready to have fun tonight? I'm on a fast today. I decided I woke up today, and I'm fasting boring services. So we're gonna fast. We're gonna fast boring services tonight. I know what can happen when the Holy Spirit shows up. I know what happened when He showed up Church of the North Coast in Lorain the other night. How many were there? Raise your hand. Maybe a couple people. And I tell you, the goodness of God came into the building, and there were so many people touched and so many people healed. And I know a woman that had floaters in her eyes for the first time in years. Those floaters just vanished out of her eyes. But this one woman, I prophesied, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to speak over the people. They're going to walk out of here without pain. People that have been walking with pain for years, And when we began to invite the angels into the room and invite the Holy Spirit into the room, and he was touching people in the atmosphere. I didn't lay hands on them. There's one lady, I don't know if you know her name. Do you know her name? Carol who? Carol Basco. She got in a severe car accident, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the doctor said she was going to have to walk with a cane for years. She would never be able to walk without it again because of the severe pain in her hip. Well, let me just say this tonight before we get into the message. Do not put limitations on what God can do tonight in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because if we come into agreement with what the enemy says, or if we come into agreement with what the world says, we open up a door for that to oppress us. We have to come into agreement with heaven tonight, in agreement with the word. That woman decided to come into agreement with the prophetic word. She put her cane down and she was running, you know, walking down the aisles without pain. She was dancing. Hallelujah. Somebody give God a praise for that. And I tell you, she even gave me the cane. I said, can I have the cane? You know, because I don't want her to take the cane and say, well, it might come back. She said, I already feel like I'm supposed to give it to you. So I'm going to have to take the cane through the airport home somehow as a testimony of God. Hallelujah. Start a little cane collection in a wheelchair collection. But before we get into the message tonight, I know when the presence of God comes, things can happen. So I just wanted to mention real quickly, we're about to go to Germany. We're going to be taking teams on the streets there and youth on the streets. And I'm going to teach them how to prophesy over unsaved people, how to make Christ relevant to them. And in February, we're doing the same thing. We're going for 2 weeks. We're going to be conducting revival meetings there. We've been seeing God do amazing things in England. People are getting saved. Churches are in revival that we've visited. They're still in revival since last year, since we went there. And we'll be going to Quebec for 2 weeks this year. We're going to Israel. And just real briefly, our ministry, Contagious Love, supports an AIDS clinic in Mozambique. And it's the poorest nation in Africa. So every day, kids are being fed food and they're getting medicine to keep their lives prolonged. And a lot of them are getting healed, hallelujah, because that team believes in the power of God that prays for them. So everywhere we go and we receive offerings, we give a major portion of that to the AIDS clinic, and we sow into the poor in Israel. So I just wanted to believe God that there's some generous givers. How many knows the Bible says God loves a stingy giver? Wait a minute, that was the Doubt translation. God loves a cheerful, hilarious giver. And I'm telling you, it takes finances to do what we're doing, and I would love for you to partner with what we're doing. So I'd like to give it over to Adam, and then we're just going to get into the Word. But more importantly, I feel the fire of God in this place tonight. So we're going to get into God tonight in Jesus' name.
It's good. Yeah, we're going to be taking our offering in the next few minutes. We have the ushers come forward so we can take that offering. One thing that I really like is I've been able to just spend time with Monday and we just talk. You know, when you're with somebody for 5 days, you talk about lots of personal things, whatever. And he just talked about how like we both like to like clip coupons and find good deals. So we're deal shoppers. His wife and them, they share one car. Because a lot of times you go to a foreign country or you go to, you know, there's young adult ministries in America and different places that just can't afford, you know, for airfare and flights and food. And money doesn't like stop and go, okay, well, before I come, how much are you going to give me? Oh, sorry, I can't come. No. He prays about it. He goes, all right, Lord, I'm on that place. So sometimes if you're able to give like $1,000, $500, $50, $20, $0.50, whatever happens to be, it's going to not just support the ministry, like here today, and to support his travel and all that expenses. It's also to be able to support the opportunities where the Lord's calling him to go, that the finances aren't there. And that's what I really like about Monday. He just goes and just goes. He's like, all right, Lord, I'm just going to walk out in faith. So I just want to take a moment and just pray for this offering. If you're going to write a check, you can write it out to, what is it, All right. Write it out to CNC, and then we will write a check to him and give that back to him as well. You can also, on the envelopes on the inside of your chairs, like, man, I don't carry a checkbook. I don't carry cash on me. You know, it's my age is like electronic world. So if you want to do electronically, you can do that too on the back of the cards in the little seats. Just fill it out clearly so we can know what it is, and then we will get that out to him as well. So let's just kind of pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I just thank you for Monday and his family. I thank you for his two little kids, for his wife. He Skypes them every single night for hours. No, just kidding. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for who he is and what he's doing. I thank you for his humble heart. I thank you that he will go out to the Himalayas, out in the middle of nowhere, where definitely he is not getting an offering check. And the greatest thing they can give him is a cardboard box with a plank of wood in it. Lord, I thank you for his heart. I thank you that when I talk about street ministry, man, he just lights up like a light bulb, wanting to be like, where? Lord, I thank you that you placed it in his heart, those seeds, and that he has cultivated that in his heart. And he just wants to see generations saved and set free and be imparted with the gifts of the Holy Spirit to go out and change lives. So, Lord, take this money, take what we have, multiply it, quadruple it. Lord, I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Let's give with joy tonight, too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You might even want to put what you're believing God for on your check. You know, your son to be saved. You know, I've done things like that before. Let's do one more shout. Come on. It got quiet in here. Let me hear one more shout. Come on. Woo! Giving should be the most exciting part of the service. So you spell thousand, M-I-L-L-I-O-N. No, I'm kidding with you. While the offering plates are going around, I'll give you just a nutshell microwave version of kind of where I came from so you guys can get to know me. How many see me speak this week since I've been here in Cleveland? A few people. Well, I might go over some things again, so hopefully I'm not redundant to the ones who have, but let me just say this. If God wants to put you on this earth, he will put you on this earth. The reason I say that, in the 70s, my mom had an IUD hook that was placed inside her uterus, and those were contraceptive devices used for abortion. So they would kill the egg after fertilization. And when my mom got pregnant with me, she went and saw the doctor, and it was a real miracle because the doctor looked at her and said, "This, there's no way this can happen. It's like there's literally 99% odds against an egg going through this microscopic hook, 1% chance that it could." And she looked at her and said, this child must be a miracle child. How many knows if God wants something done, he'll get it done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I just want to tell this quick testimony too. My mom took me aside at the age of 5. She wanted me, she wanted to receive affirmation from the Lord herself that she was forgiven. She wanted all the guilt gone. But she didn't want to tell me what happened until I was older. So she sat me down when I was 5 years old, and she said, "Mundy, let's go back to the womb, okay? And we're gonna just pray right now. We're gonna go to Jesus tonight, and I want you to see if he shows you anything. Close your eyes and see if you see something." She didn't even say the word vision. And I said, "So we do this experience in prayer." And she goes, "Do you see anything?" And I said, "Yes, Mama. I see Jesus." And she goes, "Really?" And she goes, what is he doing? What's going on?" And I said, "Well, he's got me, and I'm really, really tiny, and he's handing me to you as a gift." And she just started weeping and weeping. And I tell you, I grew up in a family that was really, we have a neat story. My dad was in the music business, so we were in the music business when I was 6 years old. And we lived in Stamford, Connecticut, and would commute to Manhattan, and I would travel a lot with my father, and he sang on a lot of big TV commercials. In fact, the first one he sang on was TV Guide, and it was a national hit. You know, he got residual income from it. "Nothing gets you into it like TV Guide," you know, so if you're alive in 79, you heard that song. And aren't you hungry for Burger King now? You know, that's before commercials were like dubstep and talking and, you know, everything was like singing groups and stuff. So he, you know, eventually, you know, singing groups got less popular and he got out of that. But during those times, he got saved radically. And I asked my father, because he went from 20 years of living in adultery. And my mom didn't know all this stuff, and neither did us kids. And it was a horrible thing for her to find out. But when he got saved, he became a new person. And my mom, you know, she had a harder time dealing with it. Even up till a year and 2 years ago, she resorted to alcoholism as her escape from all the unforgiveness, bitterness, and pain. And I tell you what, a year and 2 months ago, she put the drink down. She's completely sober. And my family is still together. Hallelujah. It's a miracle. But when I asked my father how to get saved, he told me the scripture. We were in New York while this happened, traveling back home to Connecticut. He said, I stand at the door and knock. It's in Revelation. Jesus said, if any man hears my voice and comes in, I mean, if hears my voice and opens up the door, I will come inside of them and I will dine with them. And so I got to saying the sinner's prayer with them. But you got to understand, the mind of a child thinks things are really going to happen when you tell them. So if he said Jesus is going to knock on my door and my heart's a door, okay, it's going to happen. So when I said, Jesus, come into my heart, on the train from New York to Connecticut, I felt this. And I stopped my dad in the middle of the prayer. I said, Dad, he just knocked. And so my dad just started weeping. He goes, well, let him in. And that's how I got saved. It was great. But, yeah, you can clap. Let's give him praise. He's always worthy. He is always worthy. But as, you know, growing up, as the youngest of three, my brother ended up, you know, leaving the house. My sister left the house. And when my mom's alcohol problem got the worst, I was the scapegoat. And I was always the one at home alone with her. You know, sometimes my father would be working downtown at his office, at his studio, producing, writing. And she would be so drunk, she wouldn't know if it was me or if it was my dad. And she would hurl insults at me, abuse me, you know, physically, emotionally, verbally. And that caused me to get very angry growing up. So I decided by the time I was a teenager that I didn't really want to be a Christian, because the God of my parents, I saw that he had saved my dad, but I didn't like what was going on with my mom. So I tried to think, you know, maybe all roads lead to Rome. And so I tried to, you know, think, well, there's probably everyone's going to be saved. You know, universalism, maybe Buddhists will be saved. People who believe in Muhammad will be saved. And deep down, I didn't really believe that, but I started getting into drugs. It was an escape from just all the subterfuge of pain I had grown up in. I was always made fun of in school. I went to a Presbyterian Christian school, and I was always made fun of because, you know, I looked like the punk rocker. You know, I was like the, not just the class clown, but the school clown. So I was one of those type of people that was like, I ain't ever going to church because I can't stand all those hypocrites and stuff. And the Lord got a hold of my heart. And I'll just share this real briefly. When I was in college, it was 1999. And this was right before Y2K. Does anybody remember the big Y2K warning where all the lights were going to turn off in the world, all the cars were going to shut down, hallelujah, and we were going to stockpile, you know, and, you know, build basements and fill them up with water and the necessary supplies to survive. So God actually used that to kind of, you know, some save with fear, I guess. And I was like, I'm starting to feel like I need to get saved, you know. And anyways, I was working at Tower Records at the time. I walked in on my girlfriend, and she had been cheating on me, and it was just a three-year relationship. I thought I was going to marry her. She was the girl of my dreams. I was very codependent, and I came to the end of myself. And I told this the other night when I found him in the room. They were just watching a movie, but I pounced on him, and I was about to open up a can on him. I'll tell you. Let me just tell you the truth right now. But the Holy Spirit apprehended me at that moment because I saw eternity. Hallelujah. Woo. I saw eternity at that moment. And I just said, you know what? There's no reason, there's no sense in beating this guy up. This is going to cause me to serve my master for the rest of my life. All that fear of hell I've had all my life, it's going to leave. All that fear of if Jesus comes back tomorrow, I'm not going to be ready, it's going to leave. And so I gave him a hug. It's pretty, I don't know how many people could do that, right? It's only the Lord that could have done that through me. But he's like, well, I'm, you know, I pounce on him and I pull him back up and I reach over like this and he's like, you know, and I hugged him and I said, thank you so much. I forgive you. I said, you know what? Because this has happened, you know what? I'm going to give my life to the only way to heaven, and that's Jesus. And I said, he's got a call on your life. It was crazy. There's so many stories I could tell you. I was a punk rocker, you know, and we had a punk band, and I was a drug dealer, did so many drugs. So at this point, I was ready to give my life to the Lord, but one more night, I was like, just one more night of partying. So I grabbed a bottle of gin, and I said, you know, I'm just going to drink myself to sleep, and I'm going to get saved in the morning. And God decided, now this is going to scare you a little bit, but it's got a redemptive end, so I want to take you through my story just real quick. I had an encounter. How many has had a dream that has been so real you thought it actually happened? I'm talking about an open vision. And when you woke up, you're like, I was there. This is the type of encounter I had. So I fell asleep in a drunken stupor. And when I completely sobered up. And when I thought I was awake, I was in a line and I knew in my spirit, this is the final judgment. And they've aired this story on the 700 Club the past four Christmases, so you can actually YouTube it. But I could see people being judged, whether they were in the Lamb's Book of Life or whether they were not. One door was going to hell. One door was going to heaven. There was a humongous mountain where these two doors were. And there were people that were looking up everyone's information. Like everyone had a file. And every person's file was either they had believed in Jesus, they accepted him as his Savior and they walked with him, or they had heard the gospel and they had rejected him. So I had to hear people being told, you didn't make it. And I saw them, no, no, going into this door leading to hell. Then I saw some people saying, yep, you're saved. And they walked into heaven with the greatest smile on their face. And I'm shaking because I know I can't go now. I'm not ready. This isn't my time. I can't do this. So I get up there, and I believe they were angels. I don't know. But they said, sir, what's your name, da-da-da-da-da. And I gave them my information. And they had these computer screens, you know, and they were looking up everyone's information to see if they were saved. I was hoping for a yes, but they looked at me and said, I'm sorry, you didn't make it. That's the look they gave me. No smile, no remorse, just an earnest, sober, you didn't make it. And this uncontrollable force pulled me into the doorway, leading to eternal separation from God. And I saw things that were written in the Bible that I had later found out, wow, that's actually in the Bible. It was angels standing next to this huge open chasm, and they were throwing people into a lake of fire. And I was so scared. And I began to scream in this vision. I saw people going to hell. I saw drug dealers. I saw people that had heard the gospel, but they refused to follow Jesus. They had resisted the Holy Spirit to the point where there was no hope. And I said, God, please give me one more chance. How many knows he's the God of the second chance? And as my Papa James Gall says, he's the God of the 50 millionth chance. And I knew I could run out of that line, and I ran out of that line. And I went back into the line, but before that, I saw this big rock, and I knelt down on the rock, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ again. I walked back through the line, and I'm still a little afraid, because I felt like, oh no, you know, they're going to notice it was me here before. And so when I got up there, they said that. They said, you were here before, weren't you? I said, yeah. And they said, oh, I'm sorry, we had you mixed up with an old man. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Put off the old man. He's dead, he's buried. And We are to put on the new man created unto Christ Jesus unto good works. Hallelujah. And they put this coin in my hand. And it was a scripture that I later found out was also in the Bible. It said, and I looked at it. It said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Powerful vision. I put it in my mouth and I swallowed it. It was like, it was sweet to the taste. I ate this golden coin. So you think about, why would he eat a golden coin? But then you read the Bible and you're not in such strange company because Ezekiel was eating scrolls. You know, John the Revelator was eating scrolls. So I guess I'm in, you know, I'm a coin eater. So anyways, I get to walk into heaven now. Woohoo! And I really felt that when I screamed that, because it is a beautiful place. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face because heaven is a wonder. Sorry, that was a Sunday school song. Streets of gold. It looked like crystal glass gold. Glimmering colors I've never seen before. And I saw mansions. I remember my father telling me stories. He said, you know, Jesus, he's creating a mansion for every person that puts faith in him. And I was seeing all these mansions. I'm telling you, if you're here tonight and you've named the name of Jesus, you have a mansion waiting for you in heaven. Hallelujah. So when I woke up from this encounter, I said, this is it. I got to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the passion that I used to have for sin translated into the kingdom of light. And I said, I'm going to outdo the devil. Everything I did for the devil, I'm going to do 50 times more for God in the name of Jesus. 100 times more, infinity times more. Because I was mad how he stole from me for so many years. I tell you, and that passion ended up translating in the years ahead to taking me and my wife to 28 different nations. Some of those nations 6 times. One of those nations, Israel, 18 times. And that's where we really got our start in ministry. And we've had the opportunity to do crusades and see the blind see and the lame walk. People coming out of wheelchairs. You know, Muslims get saved. Hindus get saved. Just amazing. Witches get saved in Brazil. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you tonight because I'm going to stir you up tonight to know that it is not time to throw in the towel. I don't have a title for tonight's sermon, but I just want to talk to you tonight about knowing who you are in Christ. It is the most important thing that we know who we are in Christ, because we will no longer be a people that hope to get to heaven or wait for the joy of heaven when we die. It's like the song, I don't want to go to heaven when I die. I want to go right now. Hallelujah. So let me just say this. I'm going to turn to 1 John chapter 5. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there with me. How many's excited about Jesus tonight? Y'all pull now. I feel miracle power being released tonight. Woo! It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. You guys born of God? And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So there is your key. When we come into agreement with Jesus, with his word, with heaven, we overcome. In fact, the Bible says we overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, a lot of us as Christians, we want to do the works of God. How many in here want to do the works of God? We want to do some amazing things for God. Jesus put it into a simple little scripture and package. They asked, how do we do the works of God? He said, I'll tell you how. Believe in the one he sent. Pretty easy, huh? This is he that came by water, verse 6, and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. So I thank you, Father, tonight. This whole congregation is washed and covered under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, demons do not like hearing that. And that water is something that you can drink tonight. I can feel the river of God flowing in here tonight. Hallelujah. Are you here? I think I'll just take a drink of it right now. Hallelujah. Because the Bible said, if you believe, out of your belly shall flow little tiny trickles, little streams. Why are y'all screaming at me? Rivers! Niagara Falls out of your belly. And it is the Spirit that bear, listen to this. This is great. Even Jesus, not by water only, water by blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. How many knows we need the Holy Spirit? When I first got saved, I got a hold of a book by Benny Hinn called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And that book changed my life. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, or the Son of God, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Verse 8 says there's three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, which one of those six things mentioned we're all is operating in both heaven and earth? The Spirit. I preached on this last night. So how bad do we need the Spirit? Very bad, because He has access to heaven and earth. There was a time slot called in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. And guess what? He created it for Adam and Eve. And they were to explore not just the earthly realm, but the heavenly realm as well. Hallelujah. I don't have time to get into this, but they discovered Eden is actually the size of Texas. Anyone been to Texas in here? I know Adam has. That's a big state. How can one man tend a garden the size of Texas? You ever stop to think about that? He had to be not just walking as an earthly man, but he was walking in heavenly power. That man must have been transporting, like Philip the Evangelist, from one place to the other, tending the garden, taking dominion, naming the animals. It was stolen from us from the enemy, but now the second Adam has come, and he lives inside of you the last time I checked. And the last time I checked, we were crucified, and we died. And it's no longer us that lives, but it's Christ that lives in us. That should be the most encouraging verse in Galatians that we find. Because do-it-yourself Christianity has never worked. And when we finally decide to give up, God can give in. Woo! And I'm just here to say, if there's people here tonight that they feel unworthy, they feel unworthy of His blessings, you look back at your life and you look at your failures and you constantly walk around with failure mentalities, I came with a word for Cleveland. And it is that you do not need to fear the past. You do not need to fear the future. God wants to get rid of the stigma from the prisons from where we came. Are you here? And He wants to do something. He wants to show you tonight that the foundation for your future, the foundation for your children's future, is the unfailing love of God. God can never let you down. Can I get an amen? Oh. And I'm talking about God wants us to understand this. Why? So we can go love and exemplify the power, the dunamis power of God to a world that is so desperate to see it. And I'm talking about, there's so many people out there, hundreds of people, liberals. You know, we Christians, we like to sometimes, you know, have a crooked eyebrows at people like Bill Maher and CNN, you know, and those liberals. I tell you what, God loves liberals. God, you know, like I was saying this the other night, if Jesus showed up today, I would believe maybe 75% of the worldwide church would be shocked at some of the people He'd be hanging out with and teaching about the kingdom. Amen? He wants to invade culture with His culture, the kingdom of heaven culture. So what do we do? What do we have to do in order to get fired up for the lost? Well, we got to stop trying to worry about saving ourselves. We got to get the focus off ourselves. I had to learn this through experience because you're looking at someone who was abused. And I had to learn this from experience that I am worthy of all the blessings. I am worthy to believe that I am right now seated with Christ in heavenly places. Whether I feel it or not, I know that's where the real me is. Okay? And we are going to be a people that no longer have to go through years and years of sin management. But we're going to believe that we're sin free. I don't know if I should go here tonight. Maybe not. I don't know. There's a scripture, and I believe churches are about to preach the supernatural. And they're going to preach, you can do miracles. They're going to preach like Paul, all can prophesy. But they're going to preach, you are sin free. Now go and set others free from sin. Because the Bible says in 1 John, if God's seed is in you, you cannot go on sinning. Because you are under the blood covenant. Hallelujah. There may be a war with your flesh, but you have dominion over it because you come into agreement with what the Word of God says over your life. And if you do that, you'll live in constant victory. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus said in John, all authority has been given unto me. So who did God give the authority to? Where does He live? Now, there's another scripture in Luke, and Jesus says, behold, I give you all authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and some things may hurt you. Wait a minute. Someone stop me, please, if I'm wrong. Nothing. Somebody just touch your neighbor and say nothing. My God. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. My God. So we as believers sometimes think, you know, when we get saved, we're partially holy and we're on a whole life, you know, of God making us holy. So we like split into osmosis and there's one bad us and there's one good us until we get to heaven. There's no such thing as partially holy. And if there's anyone in here that is not saved, boy, I'm telling you, you're going to get saved tonight. I believe it because it is the most exciting, most euphoric life. You can go through the worst tests and the worst trials, but you have the presence of God and He intoxicates you to get through the day. So some people, they may say, yes, brother, I'm on my way to becoming holy. And I'd like to ask them, well, how good are you doing? How good of a job are you doing at that? 0.063% on your way there? Or maybe after I cast out a few more demons, or maybe if I break a few more generational curses, you know, I believe in that. Maybe if I strive to forgive a few more people. The Bible says, as holy as the Father, Jesus has made us, and we will do not just the works that Jesus did. Now, this is crazy. I just want to say something. Try to parallel your life just to the earthly ministry of Jesus for a moment. Jesus said in the Word, he that believes in me will not just do the works I did, but greater work. Oh, my God. Someone knows the Bible in here. Greater works because I go to be with the Father. Why? Because he was going to send the Holy Spirit. So if we were to parallel our lives to Jesus right now, how many can raise their hand with me and honestly say, I have not done all the things that Jesus did even while he was here on earth? So we got a long way to go just to do the works he did. Amen? Are you here? But greater works, how about that? Woo! It's awesome, isn't it? So I'm after the greater works. How many knows if God wants you to stop a storm, he's going to have to use your mouth to do it? Stop worrying about yourself so much. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not trying to beat people up tonight. I'm actually here to encourage you. You're a champion. Amen. And some people may argue with me and they say, well, wait, what about Paul? What about Paul? You know, because he said, I do the things I don't want to do. I don't do the things I should do. Oh, what a wretched man am I? And some people have made that their foundational scripture for their lives. I'm a wretched man. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Psh. Paul always wrote to the saints in Ephesus, not to the sinners in Ephesus. So in Romans 7, he said that, but in Romans 6, Paul gave you your death certificate. Colossians 2 says, you have died. Someone say, I've died. And my life is hidden with Christ in God. You're hidden. You're covered. So what was going on in Romans 7? I do the things I don't do. Don't want to do, I don't just do the things I should do. Paul was simply trying to paint a picture of someone who is trying to access the blood of the Lamb, to access salvation, to access grace by legal ramifications. And how did he end it? He didn't end it with a bummer scripture. He ended it with, I got the revelation. Thank God through my Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody thank him right now. That's how he got over his weaknesses. But even in your weaknesses, God is strong. Woo! So if we can get all the mixture out of the way, we're going to become a happy people like God intended us to be. Because there's a church that needs to raise up. There's a remnant church that's going to raise up, and they are going to take dominion on the earth so that we can see the restitution of all things come and Jesus come back. Hallelujah. Jesus is waiting for a church to recognize who they are. He's very patient. Hallelujah. I remember I was on a plane and we had just gotten back from Wales. And we had an amazing trip. So many people came to the Lord on the streets of Wales. And I tell you, I don't like turbulence. Has anybody been in a plane and it shakes a lot? And that's just not, I'll be honest with you, it's not fun. You know, and I talk to people about this. I used to be afraid of turbulence. I got over that fear, but I used to be like when my plane would shake and people's drinks were going everywhere, I would just go into Monday comatose. You know, I'm not here. No, the ground's not real. The trees are not real. I'm not here. Right. Actually, I'm at home right now with my kids. I'm not on this plane. This is not happening. So the plane goes into crazy turbulence. We're over the Atlantic, somewhere close to Iceland. And I'm telling you, pilots are trained to comfort people. Amen. They're supposed to get on those intercoms and say, ladies and gentlemen, I know we're going through a few bumps, but don't worry. We're going to get through it. But this guy, he must have been new or something, because he goes, ladies and gentlemen, sit down right now. So he freaks everyone out on the plane. Way to be a good leader there. I forgive you. And the stewardesses are just running their little drink trays to the back and strapping themselves in. People are screaming. People are freaking out. Ah! Ah! And I'm like, oh my God. And I'm just listening to worship music. And my friend Charlie is asleep next to me. And I'm sitting there going, this guy, man. It reminded me of Jesus asleep in the storm in Galilee. And all of a sudden, this faith came on me. Because if you will spend time in the presence of God every day, and when I say spend time, I don't mean, clock out of work and go into a closet. I'm saying abide. Let the presence of God abide on you. Be a presence carrier. Hallelujah. Something shifted in my mind from rather than be afraid, the Holy Spirit, still small voice, spoke to me and said, you take care of this right now. So I nudged Charlie. I woke him up. I said, Charlie, because we're shaking. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I said, we're about to enter into the shalom of God. Shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken, peace in Hebrew. And he goes, ha, 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 ha. It's like he knew what was about to happen. Me and him are really best friends. We travel together a lot. And so all of a sudden, that plane's not going down, right? Because I'm on it. Hallelujah. And I just nonchalantly from the back of the plane, I just screamed, okay, here I go. I said, turbulence, stop. Thank you. And I'm telling you, people's drinks flying, all of a sudden, just went, perfect peace. And for the next 4 hours, that plane was just riding the friendly skies all the way home. Hallelujah. And then at the end of that flight, I got to preach to everyone on the plane that Jesus was the power that stopped the winds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're going to have fun when you know that you have died and that Christ is living in you. Woohoo! See, because men sometimes like to try to build idols of what they've done. They even worship their own guilt before the Lamb's saving blood. I'm telling you, some of you have been carrying guilt for years. Tonight it's going to break. Some of you in this place have been carrying anxieties and sleeplessness at night and worry for years. And I'm telling you, tonight is a night of transformation. This is no normal Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Somebody lift your hands up in the air right now. Just begin to feel His presence. He's just coming in here like waves. Thank you, Father. Shoo. People like to take credit. And if we're not careful, we can live a Christianity that is a do-it-yourself Christianity apart from the one that has saved us. I'm telling you, church can do church without God. I know a lot of churches that can do church without God. This sure isn't one. Hallelujah. I can feel them here. That's why I get scared. I used to get scared at that scripture. And, you know, it would say, many are going to come to me one day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not do many wonderful works in your name? And some Christians go, oh, God, I hope that's not me. It ain't you. Let me tell you why. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And then some Christians are like, well, I better not prophesy because I might be one of those. No, that's not what it means. Lord, Lord, did we not do many wonderful works in your name? He says, depart from me. I never knew you. What is eternal life? That we may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who we have sent. We don't get to heaven based upon what we've done. So if we put works before what Jesus has done on the cross, it is almost like a fist in the face of God. He wants us to know that our righteousness is filthy rags. And we can reconcile tonight that we aren't good enough and we weren't ever going to be good enough. So before the foundations of the world were laid, Jesus Christ was the Lamb that was sacrificed. Before the foundations of the world. So you get this. Let me give you a little gold nugget tonight. What these people were saying was, they were basing their whole life salvation on, Lord, did not we do many wonderful works in your name? Did not we prophesy? We, my ministry, our works, our good works. That's not what it's about. Didn't Lucifer say the same thing? I shall ascend to the high. He was in competition with God. So that's good news. You guys aren't one of those people. You're a people of the blood. You're a people of grace. And if we can get the mixture that we've been believing out of our minds, we can become a happy people and spread the joy on the streets. Woohoo! I was on the streets not too long ago. And I met this rapper, and he had a big following. And I'm telling you, if you know who you are, people are going to know it too. Whew, I feel the glory. I met this kid, and bless his heart, he picked the worst rapper name I could ever muster, I could ever think of. He was a white rapper, and I was like, so, what do you do? What's your name? He goes, well, I'm the white cracker rapper. Like, no, son, you didn't go there. I said, well, I didn't say anything. I said, well, you know what? And this is cool because I love to sneak God up on people. I'm telling you, this church, this is a church that's going to start taking Jesus to the streets. Y'all are going to start having fun. Taking it to the streets. I said, I've got the gift. And I didn't, you know, most people when they do evangelism, they think they have to immediately introduce themselves. Like, I'm a Christian, and here's the Romans Road. And yes, that's effective, and tracts are effective, but I like to get Jehovah sneaky up on them. So I said, I've got the gift, you're going to love this, to put my hand on people, and they just get, like, they get completely drunk without even drinking alcohol or without doing drugs. And he's like, for real? And I said, yeah, I've got the gift to put my hands on people, and sometimes electricity that will go through their body, and they'll feel so good. He goes, I want to try that. Are you for real? I'm like, yeah. So I put my hand on the white cracker wrapper. He falls. And he's stuck on the ground. I'm a little concerned. So me and my friends were trying to pull him up, and it was like trying to pull up a stiff man in a coffin. His whole body was like, and I said, "What's wrong, man? Can you get up?" He said, "No, I'm paralyzed." So we finally picked him up, and he's like leaning on my friends that are there with me. He's like, "This is awesome, man. I'm going to give my, oh, I want Jesus, man. I want Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus." So, like, he got plugged into this church, right? And then I was preaching there a month later, and he came up to me. He's like, "What's up, dog?" And I was like, "How's it going?" He's like, "I ain't called the white cracker rapper no more." He's like, "I'm M-O-G. I was like, "What's that mean?" He's like, "Man of God." Fun stuff. I'm telling you, you guys can be this army that the Lord is raising up in Cleveland. Hallelujah. You can be this army that God is raising up in Cleveland. We love going to the streets. But what we've got to do tonight, there's going to be an impartation that comes into this place. I believe a lot of you that came here sick tonight, I don't want you to leave without your miracle. Amen? A lot of you may have come in here hurt tonight. I don't want you to leave without your miracle. But you're going to receive an impartation, because as I'm giving testimonies, what it's doing is releasing the spirit of prophecy. Because Jesus, the testimony of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. When we give testimonies about what Christ has done, it releases the spirit of prophecy over your life. It's like, I want that. You can take it. You can take it. T.L. Osborne used to go to William Branham's meetings. And he used to, now, if for those of you who don't know T.L. Osborne, he was used to transform Africa and turn it upside down. Just went to be with the Lord not too long ago. And I really respect this man of God. He was in India with Daisy, his wife, and they used to never see anybody saved. But when he went to William Branham's meetings and he saw the miracles and he saw the healings and people would come up and testify, he said it came over him like waves. And I'm telling you, it was the spirit of prophecy. And he said a voice went off in his head, and he said he heard it like 1,000 times. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. I'll tell you what, I've been to Africa over 6 or 7 times. I don't go any nation in Africa where an older pastor has not heard the name T.L. Osborne. That man has transformed the whole continent. And I'm telling you, you may not be called to crusades, you may not be called to missions, but you are called to live a life of legacy. There are books being written about you right now. Hallelujah. Every time we talk about the Lord, it says that there's a book of remembrance being written about us. He is absolutely maniacally, magnanimously in love with us. Hallelujah. And you're like, I just don't have faith. Well, honey, he's the author and the finisher of your faith. He was the one that took the pen and started writing even before he puts you in your mother's womb. And hallelujah, he's the one that's going to put the dot at the end when you go to be with him. I'm telling you, you can trust him tonight. Whew, you can trust him tonight. I remember I was out at Bongo Java Coffee Shop, and I felt really tired because I've been doing 30 days of evangelism on the streets. And some days I'd have to go by myself because, you know, my friends couldn't come every day. And I was sitting down, having a cup of coffee. And I said, Lord, please, just speak to me tonight. Tell me anybody in here that needs a word. He goes, I'll tell you something. There's a guy sitting behind you with green sneakers. His name's Jonathan. And when he was in camp, he was sexually molested. And I want you to tell him I love him. And I never wanted that to happen to him. How many knows if you get a download like that, you better know it's right. It's like, woo! But at the same time, we have to take risks. So who wants to be some risk takers in this church? Hallelujah. I invite you to be risk takers for His glory. That could even be the title for tonight's sermon, Risk Takers for His Glory. Be willing to be wrong. You know, some of you may have tried the prophetic on some people, like, you know anybody named Susan? And they're like, no. And you're like, well, you're going to meet someone named Susan tomorrow. Here's my number. Call me when it happens. No, but I go up to, and I, you know, sure as heaven, I look behind me, and there's a guy with green shoes, just like the Lord told me. So I walked up to him, and this is what I was approaching people with, just by myself, you know. I'd say, I'm out here doing an experiment, and I'm sort of trying to build a track record to see if I can read into people's destiny, like if I can see into their past, see into their future. So I got a little notebook and a pen here, and I was just curious, could I experiment with you? Would that? He's like, yeah, sure, let's do it. So I got nothing better to do on a Friday night. So he comes and sits down next to me. And I said, well, I was just looking at you. And is your name Jonathan? He's like, yeah. And then I go into telling him what happened about camp and all the stuff that the Lord had given me. And the guy just broke. And I'm telling you, this is a key that we're seeing, where we're starting to see people come to the Lord. It's amazing. Someone give God praise right now. He's awesome. It's just amazing when you get to go to another nation and see someone get out of a wheelchair for the first time in their life. You guys can be ones that are the conduits through which that power flows through. Hallelujah. But that story is just as amazing. I give God glory for everything that happens, whether it be a cripple coming out of a wheelchair or a lady's knee that gets healed or a headache that gets healed. Hallelujah, they're all amazing. They're all amazing. I get happy when people just feel the Holy Spirit. You should go to our website, look at our videos. We get people to encounter angels and encounter the Holy Spirit before they even know who it is. It's fun. So fun. Am I stretching anybody tonight, or is this okay? It's good stuff. Holler at me if you're here. But tonight I just want to release something over this house, because I feel it coming. Just lift your hands right now. Maybe the worship band can come back. Hallelujah. Whew. Because God's about to do something right now. Because He wants to prove to you that He is the one that's knocking on your door. He is the lover. In Song of Solomon, and His hands are dripping with myrrh. And He doesn't want you to give Him excuses anymore of why you can't come to Him and just absolutely wrap your arms around Him. Oh, man. I tell you, we were preaching last night in a youth group, and I was telling people, we're marrying Jesus. We are being impregnated tonight with hope. And someone last night found a wedding ring on the ground that someone had dropped. And I said, that's a prophetic sign of what we were just preaching about. Hallelujah. Just begin to open your mouths right now and thank Him. Just begin to open your mouths and thank Him. Y'all ready to see some awesome God miracles? Hallelujah, He's going to do it. Woo! And I'm conscious of time, so for all those that need to go, you can go, but I just want to take about 5 more minutes, and I want to make sure if you've come in here and you need something tonight from Jesus, that you receive it tonight, because tonight is a night of breakthrough. Hallelujah. Tonight is a night of transformation. Hallelujah. Oh, His glory is increasing. Oh, His glory is increasing. You know why? Because I can feel a lot of you are starting to believe. Oh, I can feel you starting to believe. Woo! Release joy right now. Come on. I want you to pretend like you've never gone to church before tonight. I want you to raise your hands up. I want you to open your mouth, and I want you to believe it. Just like the day you first got saved. Just start thanking God again. Just start thanking Him for. I'm telling you, if Jesus walked into the building and you could see Him right now standing up here in His glory, and you saw how bright His glory was, I've seen it in visions. His light is so bright. It's brighter than the sun, and yet you can look at it and it doesn't hurt your eyes. If you saw Him, you would run up here. You would say, yeah, He can heal me. Well, let me tell you something. He's here tonight. You know why I know that? Because it says where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in their midst. How many believe God is here hovering over us? I see a cloud of glory hovering over you right now. Woo! I see miracles being released right now. Open your mouth. Begin to sing. Begin to praise. Begin to thank Him right now. Father, I thank You for the seraphim. I thank You for the cherubim. And they're bringing in glory from the very throne room of God tonight. Lord, I thank You for the anointing that breaks every yoke. Hallelujah. And teaches You all things. Hallelujah. Some of you guys are going to just like, it's like, man, I'm born again. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. God's healing a Debbie tonight. I just thank You for that right now, Lord. There's a Diane that needs a miracle. God's doing a miracle for you right now. I thank You for that, Jesus, right now. Hallelujah. This word I had the other night, I believe it's for now, but there's a woman, and it may be a couple, but you've had a lump in a breast, and it's been causing you deep pain, and you've been concerned about it. There's one certain woman that's you can't even afford to go to a doctor and check out what it is. It's been concerning you, but the Holy Spirit says, my finger is coming in here like the finger of God. He's touching everybody that is sick right now, and those lumps are going in the glory right now. Hallelujah! Woo! My hand just got on fire when I said that. That's because healing's here. So Lord, I just invite the healing angels into the building right now. We invite the territorial angels over Cleveland to come to this service tonight and peek in and help in what's going on in the atmosphere right now. Hallelujah. You know, we get so busy trying to cast down principalities. We need to start inviting the territorial angels. They're a lot stronger than the principalities. Hallelujah. In fact, we need to start saying, hey, I'm a principality. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I rule and reign with Him. I bring His dominion on earth. I walk through the door of Jesus into the pasture, in and out, in and out, in and out, and I can bring heaven to earth. Hallelujah. Woo! Just stand up to your feet right now if you need a miracle. Oh my God, it's happening right now. It's happening right now. Just a few more minutes. Hallelujah. There's someone that's been going partially deaf in your right ear. God's touching it right now, and that ear's opening up. I'm just going to call some words of knowledges out. And, you know, if you don't get a word of knowledge, just go ahead and take a healing for yourself right now. I thank You, Jesus. There's also a lady in here. You've had severe arthritis in the knees and in your legs. God's healing it. I also see inflammation in the legs. God's going to shrink that right now, because He can do anything, because all things are possible to them that believe. Hallelujah. I was just in Buffalo, New York, and there was a woman there. She was having weight problems, and she was wanting to believe that God could shrink her fat cells right off of her body. And I began to decree, fat cells disappear in the name of Jesus. Four people came forward. One of them was jumping up and down. And she said, as you spoke that word, I literally began shrinking in my clothes. And she dropped 30 pounds that night. I'm telling you, you can have a miracle right now. Thyroid conditions are being healed right now. There's a hernia in a man. God's healing you right now. There's a prostrate in a man, and God is touching that prostrate. An enlarged prostrate, you're being healed right now. There's someone in here who has cancerous cells in your body, and the Holy Spirit is touching you, and He is igniting you with dunamis fire, and every cell of your body is being healed right now. Come on, praise Him. Praise Him like you believe it. Fat cells. Hallelujah. Fat cells disappear off of the bodies right now. Glory to God. There's a woman here tonight. You sewed a $25 check, and you're believing for your son to come to the Lord. He's on drugs, and God says, I'm going to save him. He's hanging out in the wrong crowd, and I want you to know God just told me He's going to save him in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. There's someone with floaters. We've seen this miracle way too many times. Someone in here that when you look, you see spots in your vision. God's healing those right now. Start looking around the room. I'm telling you, angels are coming around and touching you right now. Woo! We're going to do this one more time. I want you to shout if you want a healing. Just do it. Just shout. Oh, Jesus. Growths fall off the body. Tumors fall off the body. Skin conditions be healed right now. Fibromyalgia be healed in the name of Jesus. Muscle weakness be healed. Fatigue. There's a woman here who come to church tonight. I don't know who you are, but you always have extreme fatigue. You feel like you sometimes have to sit down like you're about to pass out. The Holy Spirit's healing you. Your blood sugar levels are being healed tonight. Hallelujah. Someone's brain stem is being healed tonight. Hallelujah. I want you to do this real quick. Put your hand on the part of your body that you need healing. No one's looking around. I don't care where it is. I don't care if it's the woman with the lump in your breast. I want you to just put your hand wherever you need a healing right now. And you're the issue. You're the woman with the issue of blood. You are not coming into agreement with what's been there for years and the lie that's been there for years and the demons that have been tormenting you for years. Right now, put your hand there. As a son of God, command every spirit of sickness fall off of those bodies right now. Come out of those bodies right now. I command every spirit of infirmity loose off the people of God. Right there it went. I just felt it right there. There it went. There it went. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spirits of pain loose off the people of God right now. Hallelujah. God's healing a woman's rotator cuff. It's going to feel like you've never had that pain before. Just be healed right now. I want you to come up to the front. Run up here right now. Hey, if Jesus was in the church, would you run up to Him and give Him a hug right now? I'm telling you, if you need a healing, just come up here right now. Just come up here right now. Check the pain. I want you to come up to the front. Just start checking the pain. Checking the symptom. Woo! This is going to be a good night because I got a feeling. And I want you to just prophesy, I'm walking my healing out right now. I'm walking my healing out right now. Some of you who may need weight loss, you might need to start checking your belt. Start checking your pant size. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what I tell people to do. Can God do that? That's not in the Bible. You know, I hear a lot of people say that. God can't do that. That's not in the Bible. Well, you're not in the Bible, right? So I guess if your name's not in the Bible, maybe you're not of God, if I came with that same argument, right? That was supposed to be a joke. I want you to begin checking all over right now. Just check the pain that's been there. Check your bodies. Hallelujah. You are worthy to receive every good, every perfect gift that comes down from the Father of lights in this place. Woo! Are y'all checking? For a few more moments, just start checking all over the building. I want to see people moving around, checking. I want you to just move that part of your body. I want you to try to touch your toes. If you've had pain in your back, just start touching your toes. Do something you couldn't do before. Woo! How you doing? Say, do something you couldn't do before to these people.
I couldn't do...
Wait. Say this to them. Say, do something you couldn't do before.
Hey, yo, do something you couldn't do before.
Now, y'all try that. We got to get the woman raised up, don't we? For you.
Well, Jenna prayed a few months ago for my rotator cuff because I tore it and I had no pain. Then I was praying the other night ago, it like came back pretty strong. And then I do a lot of like group fitness and things like that, and so I couldn't do any of my usual stretches, but I just did them and it's like probably like 90% better.
Do a stretch or a push-up because it's going to get 100. Hallelujah! How's that feel now? Go ahead. While she's doing that, I want you guys to start checking your pains in your body. Check symptoms. Whatever I called out, or even if I didn't call out it. See? I told you God loves people. He's here to prove His love. He's here to seal His love in this place tonight. All better? It's gone? What happened?
There's no soreness. No pain.
No more pain. Somebody give Him praise right now. Woo! Now, some of you back there, I just felt like, you know, that happened for her, but it can't happen for me. I just want to say, no, that's a lie from hell, because the angels are going to ride her testimony right over to you in Jesus' name. Woo! How many people, just raise your hand at me. You just checked your body and it got better. You felt something different. Just wave your hands, right? Wave your hands at me. Hallelujah. I want all those people that wave their hands, come up here real quick. We're going to get like a 10-second testimony from each person. Run up here. If you wave your hands, come on, hallelujah. Don't be ashamed. Come on up. You be the first one. You look like you want to testify. We got to testify. You know why? Because we're going to release the spirit of prophecy in Jesus' name.
I came here with severe mouth pain. I had dental work done. And in Jesus' name, I have no pain in my mouth. None in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you are going to use her to be an evangelist to young ladies, Father. And I just bless that in her. She's got a ministry to ladies that have been where their husbands have left her. And I'm telling you, you're going to minister to these ladies and set them free. You are a liberator in the body of Christ in Jesus' name. Fire on you right now.
Amen. I've been told by a doctor I have a partial rotator cuff tear and bone spurs. I have no pain. No pain as of right now. I've been told by a doctor I have stage 4 inoperable prostate cancer. That is gone. That is done. That is fallen off. It's dead.
So you don't agree with that?
I don't agree with that.
I agree with heaven.
I say what God says. I am healed. By His stripes, I am healed.
Take that rotator cuff. Just start moving it around. How long's that thing been hurting? No pain? Hallelujah. Lord, I just cancer loose off of this man in Jesus' name. Come on up here. What happened for you?
I have taken care of my patient, and I twisted my knee. I never said anything to anybody, but it really hurts. And I had like 2 knots right here on this knee. Oh, yeah, 2 knots right here when I twisted it. With my heavy patient, I was lifting. She's a little girl. She was heavy. And I never said anything to anybody about it, but it really was painful, especially at night when I tried to lay on my right side. The knots is gone, and I can look.
You're making me want to do a dance. The knots are gone.
Praise God.
Somebody give him praise in the building right now. He is so worthy. To God be the glory. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Come on up. Woo, Jesus. If I scream, woo, it means I'm getting excited. I feel it in my spirit. It's just bubbling up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I had this lump in my back that's been bothering me for several months. And I don't feel that lump anymore. Praise God. Hallelujah.
A lump in your back?
Yes.
How long has it been there?
A few months.
And how long? How big was it? Or do you know?
About this big, I think.
It's a big lump.
It felt like it might have been.
Things gone.
Praise God. I don't feel any.
Can you do me a favor?
Yes.
Tell everyone to just shout right now to God.
Shout to God. Hallelujah.
What happened for you?
I have had severe nerve damage in my right leg, all the way from my lower back, all the way down to my ankle. And I felt the lifting of that. It's such a lightness. It's such a different feeling of deliverance. And I just thank God for it.
Yeah, I'm feeling when you walked in here, that thing was bothering you.
Yes, it was.
And right now, can you just walk on the stage, just walk down to that wire and come back? I'm just gonna give God praise. We're gonna show Jesus off. Hallelujah. Come back here. Come back here. We're gonna just show Jesus off. Lumps are disappearing. God, I'm telling you, if you need a miracle right now, just receive it in the atmosphere. Keep checking. I'm telling you, if you checked and it didn't happen, keep checking. Is that pain all gone?
Yes, it is.
Lift up your hands. I thank you, Father, for the fire of God in this woman. Bless her. Whew. I feel a realm of faith right now. I even speak to metals and bolts and pins and screws that have been implanted there. I command metal to vanish. We've seen this happen. We'll be in meetings and metal will literally vanish out of people's bodies. Do you believe if God can take a lump off a body, then he can take metal out if he wants to? Someone else want to testify? Come on up here.
I just give honors to God tonight. First of all, let me say this. The Lord actually paid me to come here tonight. He paid me. I went to a focus group. And for the focus group, they pay you $75. So I went to the focus group tonight. And then they called everybody in. They said, Daryl, you sit here. And so I sat there and the man came back and he said, well, we pulled names and we're going to pay you the same amount, but you can go home. So I left there and I said, I'm going to church because I know that the Lord has a reason for me to be there tonight. So I sat there and I was listening to the word, and I have a burning when I eat. It's like in my esophagus. And there was just a burning as I sat there listening to the word. And as I received the healing, the burning just stopped. The burning sensation just stopped. And I just thank God. But I have to say this. I believe that what God has for me to be here tonight is even more than that. And I'm receiving it. I don't know what it is yet. But I
lift your hands up right now. Lord, I thank you. She is taking it right now from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Woo! Hey, I want you to check your bodies right now. Keep checking. Check where there's been metal. Hallelujah. Go ahead and start checking and feeling. I'm telling you right now, God's doing miracles in the building. Come forward. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you guys, by the way.
I broke the bone in my foot 2 days ago. Yeah, night before last night. And could not step down on my foot. It's a spiral break from one end of the bone to the other. Doctor, yeah, they told me it's like the, no, it's like the worst kind that you can get.
So what happened for you?
Well, I couldn't even step down on my foot at all.
And now you're able to.
Yeah.
Somebody give God praise right now. Just look at that. So it hurt before? Really bad when you did this?
Oh, yeah. If I put any pressure on my foot, it felt like there was a knife going through it. But it wasn't just like even I have a rotator cuff thing that's been going on. I had a lot of attack that came my way right when I walked in the door. And a lot of emotional attack.
Those things that have been there since your childhood, just lift your hands up right now. I break off, and I just want you to stretch your hands to this woman. I break every lie that was ever spoken over you, all the abandonment in your life that you felt growing up. And in the name of Jesus, you are receiving as a daughter, as a princess, as a royal diadem of God. You are receiving to know that He is your Father. He is your Father. He is your Father in Jesus' name. Somebody give God praise for what He's doing in her right now. Hallelujah. Do we have any more testimonies over there? I know we had a lot of hands raised. Come on up here. Pastor, are we okay on time? Do we have a few more minutes? Where's Pastor? Are we okay? All right. Just turn to the audience. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I've been sick since, well, I'm not sick, God healed me, but I had started getting sick in April. And I lost some vision, but vision came back. Doctor said I wasn't going to be able to see. I was going to get some of it back. But tonight, you called out a few things that's been going on with me. And I don't have the pain. My neurological system was shut down. I had a virus set in my body. And the doctor said 6 months to a year for recovery. It's only been 5 months. But you called out thyroid. And I had thyroid. You called out weakness.
Weakness.
And tired. Because sometimes I feel like I'm going to pass out.
Weakness.
Weakness.
Yes.
You called out the brain. And I have this pain and stuff that's still in my brain. But I'm coming. And then here, but right now I'm not feeling that pain.
The pain's gone. Somebody give God praise right now in the house of God. Jesus, we just bless her. Is complete, and she's going to leave this place whole and new. And we break that doctor's prognosis. We come into agreement with heaven by the stripes of Jesus. You are healed right now. Watch her, watch her, watch her. Good guys. Anybody else that wanted to testify you got healed? I don't care even if it's embarrassing. Come on up here and tell it. Amen.
For about 20 years, I've been diagnosed with diabetes. It got very, very bad some time ago, and I didn't want to go on insulin. I've been on pills, and I've gotten progressively better. I went to two or three doctors that said, well, this is what the statistics say, that you're going to get worse and worse and worse. I looked at one doctor and I said, I'm not going to be a statistic because I'm going to trust the Lord that He's going to heal me. And you know, I'm getting progressively better. It's been approaching normal. And now's the day. Tonight's the night that I feel that I'm going to be normal. It's approaching it right now. And there's something else that at this time of the night, through a service this long, I'm supposed to be so tired. It's incredible. I'm not tired tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. By his stripes I'm healed.
You're like the Energizer Bunny. Hallelujah. You're about to feel the power of God go through your body. Father, I thank you. You are going to just take this diabetes out completely loose out of this man in Jesus' name. There it goes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just praise him one more time. Give him a hand clap right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He is so good. Woo! He's so good. He's so good. Well, guys, I just want to thank you so much for coming. Listen, come and interrupt me if you've got a testimony. I'm telling you what. Keep checking your belt. Hallelujah. Keep checking your belt. Yeah, come on. Are you feeling looser over there? Is feeling looser? Come on up here. I want to hear about it.
Yeah. You know, it was about 6 months ago that, you know, I was kind of rebellious and I was doing my thing. And I knew who Jesus Christ was. And, you know, I was really, you know, I had epilepsy, but I didn't know it. And I was doing pornography and I was, you know, I was fighting it because I knew it was wrong. But I know that that demonic stronghold was strong in my life. And I had a seizure one day. And, I mean, God really makes things work for your good. And because, you know, I started a relationship with God. You know, I looked to God stronger than I ever did before. And, you know, pornography left. And, you know, I had just left everything. And I, you know, I'm glad to say I have not had a glimpse, a tremor or anything, you know, in the last about month or so. And I've just been completely healed. And he's done that in my life. And, you know, I've been free. I'm glad to say my relationship with the Lord is, like, so strong now. You know, the Lord says, you know, go and make disciples. Well, I've got friends now at school. We pray together. We walk around. We jog around the school today like they did. Like, you know, they ran around the walls of Jericho. We literally did that in school today. And, you know, that's, you know, my relationship with God is really tight. So
thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Is there a Stephen here tonight? Is there a Stephen? Anybody here named Stephen? I just wanted to interrupt real quick. Stephen? Anybody? Does that make sense to anyone? Anyways, I had that word earlier about seizures and I forgot to give it, but that was for you and you're going to go free from this place in Jesus' name. Would you do me a favor? I just want you to say into this. We're going to do something real quick. Just hold on a minute. Y'all praise him while we're doing something.
If you're in this place and you don't know if you're going to heaven, I want you to lift your hands right now and give your life to Christ. Because he loves you. Yeah, you know, there's no guilt in Christ. With the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. So, you know, yeah. Hallelujah!
Thank you. I want to reverberate that. Come on up here. I want to reverberate that. And if don't be ashamed. I'm telling you, if there's people in here, you're dealing with sins, you know, that aren't right with the Lord, you want to get right with God, and you're not sure if you're going to heaven, I want you to get saved this night. I don't want you to leave this place. But the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. All right. So I want you to come up here. Tonight, if you don't know, if Jesus came back tomorrow, if you were going to be on that train ride to heaven, I want you to come up tonight. And if you want to come meet me or Adam, you can come up to Jenna. You can come up to my friend Michael here with the orange hoodie. Is that a hoodie? Yeah, and just talk to us, all right? Hallelujah. What happened for you?
Well, a few months ago, well, almost a year ago, I went for a random, like, blood testing. And I was told that I had a problem with my blood. And I was embarrassed to tell everybody. I've been embarrassed to tell my testimony. A few months ago, I brought it to the altar, and I was prayed for. And I went the next day on that Monday and I got testing and they said it was negative. When you were speaking about demons tormenting my mind, last week I was being tormented. And I went back to the doctor, got tested again. They said it was negative. Thank God. And when I was standing there, I felt burning over my entire body. And I heard a whisper in my ear, and God said, it's done. And I just thank God. I know that I know now. There's no doubt in my mind. I'll never ask again. I know that God has healed me, and I will never doubt his healing again. Thank you, Lord.
Just lift up your hands. Father, I thank you. It is a done deal. Signed, sealed, delivered. Amen. Right now, fire of God through her body. Jesus. What's going on with you tonight?
When you said that, I said, oh, that's just the answer to prayer about, you know, the fat deposits, you know, distributed, whatever case may be. So, you know, I just believe the word of God and stuff, and I start seeing that it's loose right here. So
these pants weren't that loose before you came in here.
Tight. They were very tight.
Did you hear what she just said? Now, y'all look up here. If we got any skeptics in the building, I just want you to look up here. Do that one more time. That was tight?
That was tight.
Before you came in here?
Yeah, very close fitting around me. Very close fitting.
So she's the incredible shrinking woman. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Father, I thank you. You're doing that as a miracle in her life. Lord, increase it. Just keep decreasing and decreasing and decreasing those fat cells. Lord, let her decrease. Hallelujah. As you increase. I'm sorry. That was a bad joke. But woo! Give me a hug. Isn't that awesome? They were tight on her. Somebody shout right now. Hey, if Jesus can turn water into wine, he can take fat cells off of bodies. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, you look on fire.
I just wanted, I'm already healed. I just believe the Lord has healed me. I've been on cancer treatment since 2011. I'm still on cancer treatment. But I believe the Lord has healed me. And it's only the proof for the doctors to see that the Lord has healed me. And when I go into the cancer center, I always proclaim, my presence brings healing. I'm here, and I'm an ambassador, and I'm on a mission for the Lord. And everyone I look at and everyone I touch, I believe that God is going to heal them the same way he has healed me. And the one time this nurse asked me, how do you feel? I said, I feel healed, delivered, and set free.
My God!
Woo!
He's a mighty God! Hallelujah. Anybody with metal been checking? Check your bodies. I'm serious. Anybody that wants a weight loss, check your belt size. You may even leave tonight and be like, man, it happened. Hallelujah. My friend Jeff, he's our pastor. Sometimes he'll proclaim metal miracles and they'll go home and they'll wake up and shavings of metal will be all over the floor. It came out of their body while they're sleeping at night. Hallelujah. Wow, this has been a great night. Who's been encouraged tonight? I want you to leave this place free, free from shame, free from guilt. I'm going to have my friend Adam come up and close the service. And just thank you guys so much for having me. We bless you. This guy right here, come up here. You're a mighty preacher. You're a mighty man of God. I want you to lift up your hands. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, the Lord just pinpointed you out to me. And he said, you are going to take my fire to the schools and to the streets. You are going to be a champion, a champion, a champion. And I see God's going to turn some things around. That even in your life, the grades are going to be getting awesome. And I see scholarships in your future. I see you doing great things for the Lord in the sports arena. And God, I just praise you for this man. We just put the fire on him. We seal it. By the blood of the Lamb, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. And as the Kool-Aid man used to say, you got the Kool-Aid man shirt. Oh yeah, hallelujah. Are you feeling that fire right now? What are you feeling?
Feeling a lot of fire. I'm burning.
Burning up, huh? How's it feel? Does it feel good?
Yes.
Somebody praise God for that.
You know, as Monday was talking about, you know, that amazing thing's going to happen in Cleveland. It's not amazing things that Monday's going to, like, go away. They're like, come back, come back, come back. And he comes back, and then because of him coming back, the city changes. No. It's that you have to have the gifting. You have to develop the gifting. You have to put it inside of you. I'm going to take just a moment. We're going to do just a fun little activation. It's going to take a moment, all right? So I'm going to tell you how it goes. It's a very simple. We're in a very safe place today. Just say safe. All right. We're in a safe place. So what I want you to do really quick is find a partner. Really fast, find a partner. Just find a partner. If you don't have a partner, just kind of raise your hand up so that people know you don't have a partner. See one person without a partner. Awesome. Good. All right. This is what we're going to do. Very simple activation. This may seem a little weird for you, but this is a safe place. Step out. Like, this is the time where you just jump out in there. You're just like, I saw you had an Uncle Steve. And you're like, no, I didn't have an Uncle Steve. That's okay. All right. It's safe. So I'm going to say a word like cat. Let me borrow something really quick. Come on up. All right. So if you're my partner, I don't need your hat. It's good. Not your hat. All right. So what's going to happen is, I'm going to give the word cat, all right? And I'm going to be praying, and I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to ask the Lord. I'm going to be like, all right, Lord, what about a cat describes him? What about a cat describes him? See, I'm already feeling it. All right. I feel like you're a cat. I feel like you can literally go into places where other larger things can't go. Like you like swiftly go through, like you're sneaky. Like you're actually, the Lord has sneakily placed you in places. To be able to go out and be able to like receive favor. Cats receive favor from people. They do. They put food out for them. But you're going to receive favor to be able to give the gospel to them. Yeah. Ooh, that's good. That's good. Something very simple, just like that, all right? And you know what? The amazing thing is, and Jenna, I've learned this from Jenna, she talks about how, you can go down, thank you, how when you speak out, like it's like you're speaking out red words, and the Holy Spirit comes on, and he places his words on top of your words, and he uses your words. And there's literally like a switch, and sometimes you'll feel it, where pretty soon it's your word speaking, and then all of a sudden, bloop, and like you like feel it. You're like, whoa, what's this? Woo, okay, good. So, all right, so we're going to do this really quick. All right, but I'm going to change I want to be fair. I'm going to change up the word picture for each person. So I'm going to give it to somebody. You know, who wants to go first? Raise your hand. Who wants to go? Everybody, if you want to go first, your partner. Okay, great. A lot of bold people. Awesome. Somebody's like, oh, wait a minute. No. All right, so one person's going to go. I'm going to say this is the word for you. I want you to just take a moment, just ask the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord to kind of go, okay, Lord, why is this person such and such? And I'm going to give you a minute to kind of pray that, and I'm going to want you to be able to speak that out, all right? So I'm going to give you 30 seconds to be able to just ask the Lord, and then I'm going to give you a minute to speak that out, all right? Ready? Let's see. The word's going to be, you are a balloon. You are a balloon. Go ahead. All right, go ahead and just speak that out on the person. I'm going to give you 1 minute to speak that out. Go ahead, speak it out. It's okay, it's a safe place, safety. Seconds. Ten seconds. All right. Awesome. You guys can stop. It's kind of fun. Yeah. All right. All right. Now we're going to switch partners, and I'm going to kind of ask the Lord for a second what yours is going to be. Let's see here. What's going to be? Okay. Ooh, that's a good one, Lauren. Good. All right. You are a skyscraper. You are a skyscraper. All right. I'm going to give you a couple moments to ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, about what that. Go ahead. You are a skyscraper. All right, go ahead. You have 1 minute. Speak it out. Thirty seconds. Ten seconds. All right, you're done. That's awesome. All right, now I just want to see, let me step down here so I can see a little better. How many of you guys, I see some hugging, I see some loving. How many of you guys, like you really felt like something happened, like something like was good? All right, I see some hands. Awesome. Give yourself a high five, a clap. Let me tell you what, it is really good. It is really good to find a safe partner that you can practice on. You know, that you know, like, if you're a little goofy, they're okay. Literally, Jen and I, we've been in the car, we've been in places, and like, just jokingly, we just started like giving each other words, and all of a sudden, we're like, whoa, that's the Lord, like the Lord used it. I'm like, whoa, that was so good, you know, we're like, that's amazing. Like, if you give the opportunity for the Lord, he'll use it. So these are like the stepping stones. Pretty soon, like literally, it was Michael and I and Jenna and a couple other people were at Starbucks, and we're sitting there having a meeting, and the Lord's like, go tell that guy something, something, something. And I'm like, no. I get scared too. I'm like, oh no. And then he like walked out the door, and I'm like, I'm doing it. I get up out of my chair, and everybody's like looking at me like, oh. And I just walk out there. I go up to him. I'm like, you know what? By any chance, is this going on in your life? Is this going on in your life? He's like, dude. Whoa. He's like, how'd you know that? I'm like, well, I'm a Christian and Jesus. He's like, I haven't gone to church in a long time. What church you go to, I'm going. You know, it's awesome. So definitely step out. I'm going to pray for you guys and bless you guys and send you out. Also, just kind of a reminder, because sometimes we get in the flow and whatever. If you are wanting to be able to bless Monday in his ministry, you are still free to do that. It's still open. It's still a possibility. Go ahead and just throw money at him. It's okay. So he's my friend, whatever. It's good. So let me just pray, all right? Holy Spirit, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that the same Spirit that dwells inside of Monday dwells inside of me, that dwells inside of us. That the Bible wishes that all would prophesy. And that we have the gifting, we just have to step out in faith. And that literally the city of Cleveland will change by the words of our testimonies. That we are going to be able to speak life into people that we don't even know. And all the evolution garbage that they have that's in their life will literally be like, whoa, wait a minute. What, Jesus, what? Are you, what? Oh my gosh, that's amazing. That literally your Holy Spirit will be imparted to them as we speak to them. Whew. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our youth. I thank you for that you're not the next generation, but the now generation. Whew. I thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for coming. Thank you, Monday.